Hello and good day, Joe. Thanks for joining us in the studio.
I'm happy to be with you.
Thank you. And first of all, you're from the Freiburger Wahlkreis 100%.
Yes, I am. Freiburger Wahlkreis 100% or Freiburg Voting District 100% in English.
And how long have you been with this organization?
I've been there since 2002 when we first started working together. So that's 22 years now.
Okay, great. So you were part of the people who saw the need for this initiative.
Yes, we started out with, it had to do with the European Union giving, extending voting rights at the local level to all citizens living in other European Union countries. And that was in 1998. And then in 2002, the Migrant Council got together with Clemens Hauser, who was the head of our initiative, and they decided we've got to do something about the fact that the other people who don't have an EU pass or don't have a German passport should also have voting rights.
Why do you think that way? Why do you think that people who do not have the passport should have a right to vote?
Well, I just think it's normal if you live in a country and you pay taxes and you're invested in the culture, you should have a say in how everything is done in terms of politics. And I thought it extremely unfair that a European citizen, after only 3 months residency, is allowed to vote. And now I've been living here in this country for 42 years and I'm not even allowed to vote for the mayor.
Can you describe the main goals of the organization?
Well, the main goal, it's an awareness campaign. So what we do, we hold symbolic elections for people like me and anyone else who has no voting rights, and they get the exact same ballots that a German or an EU citizen would get. And we fill out the ballots. And then we have what we call a Stimmenübergabe, a symbolic ballot presentation to the candidates whom we elected. And we tell them, these are the votes of the people who would have voted for you. And of course, we want to get lots of publicity. We want to show it in the media. And the main goal is to have the law changed.
And do you have the results from the last election?
The last election, we do federal elections and communal elections. The last federal election, I think the SPD won it and the Green Party was up high. I don't have the exact results, but the importance, we think it's not who gets elected, but it's that the amount of people who take part in it, just to show that we want to take part in elections as well.
Being that we're dealing with elections, do you also organize maybe civic workshops in regards to how to vote so that people who eventually get their passports would be able to participate in the normal voting procedure?
Well, that's all part of our system as well, because when people come, they see this ballot, which has all the different lists of candidates, and it's huge. You know, they have 48 names on every list. Most of the lists have 48 names. So we have to explain to them how the system works, that you have to only, you can't vote more than 48 times. You can vote three to one vote per candidate. And then we set up a Wahlprüfstein, how would you call this? Election test questions or voter guides. So we had specific questions that were relevant to the migrant community. For instance, how many candidates does your list have that have a migration background? In Germany, it's 30%. And it was really telling by some of the parties, they didn't have anyone in the first 10 who had migration background and maybe only two candidates. That's an important thing. Also, do you support an anonymous, when you're applying for a job, an anonymous application? Because a lot of times when people see a foreign name, they don't even get invited for an interview. That is something that needs to be changed in the administration of the city. Very, very important.
Yeah, definitely. What challenges would you say you've encountered or the organization has encountered in its mission?
Well, the main challenge is to get people with migration background to vote to begin with. Even if they have German citizenship, many of them don't bother to vote. And the people who are against us, they say, well, they don't go to vote, you know, but many of them have lower social backgrounds. They have two jobs, they have families, they can't afford to read the newspaper and look up the important issues in the campaign. And that's one of our goals, even for the people who have German citizenship, is to tell them how important it is. One example, referendums. People don't know. You know, the social housing of Freiburg was going to be sold. And 30% of the people, inhabitants of the social housing units, were not allowed to vote in the referendum if the units were going to be privatized. Very, very important. So we have to reach the people to tell them it's important to vote. And I think about one of my own personal example. I'm a musician, and for the longest time I had been living in Freiburg, I was not interested in German politics. I was more interested in my home country. I'm from the United States. But then there was a referendum for the concert hall, for a new concert hall to be built, and most of my friends were against it. And I, of course, was for having them build it, and I wasn't allowed to vote. So I think if you look in terms of referendums, it's also very, very important for migrants to vote. Another thing that I would like to say about just the people who don't have the right to vote for years and years and years, and many of their children now are getting German citizenship, but having the right to vote, if you have never had the right to vote in the country that you live in, you stop being interested in what's going on. And teaching it's a culture of teaching your children to go to vote, to be interested in local politics. And if the parents are not, then the children won't be either. And I think this is one thing that politicians of all parties are complaining about, is that the voter turnout is extremely low. And a democracy can only survive if it has active members. Very, very.
Yeah, definitely a democracy can only survive on active participation. What do you expect from members of the community in regards to why you do the outreach, and how can they participate even if they're not migrants?
We also have a referendum for people of German citizenship and EU citizens. If they are for or against introducing the right to vote according to residency. So we have it for four different levels this time. We have it at the communal level, we have it at the European level, at the county level, the Landtags level, and at the federal level. So it'll be interesting to see this time how many people say yes to that, and if they make a differentiation between the different levels of voting. We have role model of the symbolic elections from 1914 in France. Over 500,000 women in 1914 staged symbolic elections. And it took them not until 1944 until they finally got women's voting rights. And we make this connection, this parallel between their fight to get the right to vote and our fight to get the right to vote according to where you live.
Okay, so let's go back to the community outreach and workshops on voting in Germany. How do you maintain non-partisanship?
Well, people always ask us, who should I vote for? And I say, that's not what we're here to do. You're going to vote who you want to vote for. I can give an example on the last symbolic federal elections. We had, international Beobachter, how do you say, people who were watching over our election. And there was a lull at the time, 90 people came. And all of a sudden, a group of three Afghani and one Pakistani came. And they took a long, long time to vote. And then one of them asked me, the CDU, they're good for foreigners, aren't they? And I said, well, take a look. We have our voter guides. We posed questions to all the candidates. See how they answered all your questions. And then they were able to vote according to what they saw written. So we don't. And actually, the second to last federal election, the CDU won our election, which is very interesting because we call it the Merkel effect, because Angela Merkel was the one who let in all of the foreigners in the refugee crisis, and so they wanted to vote for her. So And I thought that was actually quite good, because the CDU is the party that's against introducing local voting rights. And we just wanted to show them, these are the people who would vote for you. And we did meet up with the CDU 2 years ago, and we told them, you know, they were very happy to see us. We were expecting them to be against us. They did vote against us in terms of this city declaration. We had a city declaration which was signed by a majority of the city council members and the mayor. But the CDU voted against it. But I kind of got the impression they liked us. They thought the work that we were doing was really good. And I have the feeling, I can't speak for them, but I have the feeling they're afraid to extend local voting rights to foreign residents because they may lose their voter base. And the AFD, the right-wing party, is picking up on all these people. And so I think the CDU is afraid of losing more votes to the fringe right-wing party.
But if from the election results, the CDU gets most of the votes, wouldn't that give them a new voter base then?
I think it's really hard to tell. Actually, I don't think this will happen. This happened 2 years ago, and that was, like I said, the Angela Merkel effect.
Yeah.
And we don't vote for our people who are coming. They have to make their own decisions. But for all of the parties, they have to write if they're for or against introducing local voting rights. And that was one of the questions we asked them on our election test questions. So I don't know. I really don't think they will. But, I mean, welcome. We live in a democracy. You know, we should embrace what the people want.
Okay. Let's go international a little bit. Do you think that this initiative should be accepted in every country?
Yes, of course. And that's since the COVID lockdown, we've been meeting up online with other groups. We have a European initiative, which is called VRAR, Voting Rights for All Residents. In France, we just held a commemoration day on the 26th of April. And we meet online, and they have the same things. They're holding symbolic elections as well. And we like to tell people, too, that in the countries that have introduced local voting rights to all residents, there have been no problems at all. I don't know what people are afraid of. And there are studies that show that basically after two generations, the new residents, the new voters, end up voting like their peers in their host countries. So I think it's just a question of telling people what's going to happen and not to be afraid. And I think that's how it always is. The majority is afraid of extending voting rights because they're afraid they may lose the power. But democracy is not about losing powers. It's about sharing. And so I think that's the most thing. But it is very important. Also, at the German level, we've had our Wir Wählen initiative. And we also have cooperation partners in different cities in Germany who are also holding symbolic elections. Very, very important. And I have to say, as a U.S. citizen, it used to be everyone was asking, well, how is this in your own country? Well, 2 years ago, New York City introduced local voting rights for all residents, and it was not publicized at all in Europe or in Germany. And okay, they're waiting now. It was taken to court by the conservative government, and so they're waiting for that. Yeah. Countries do it in different ways. In the United States, a city can decide. In Germany, it has to be at the federal level to change election laws. In Switzerland, by the way, every canton can decide by itself. So in a city like Fribourg, the same name as Freiburg. They have introduced local voting rights for all residents. And so they have candidates who are not born in Switzerland and have a different passport. That's how it is. And so we like to show these examples to other people saying, hey, you should maybe get away from this idea that voting rights has to do with your passport. It should be where you live. That's the most important thing.
Okay, so Joe, you've been in Germany for about 40 years. I guess a question some people might ask is, why don't you just get the citizenship?
Well, for the longest time, I wanted to get German citizenship, but the law at the time was such that I would have to give up my a U.S. passport in order to become a German citizen. And people say, well, you live here. I said, well, no, it's part of your identity. And I know many people feel exactly the same way. And I'm able to travel with my U.S. passport. I feel protected. And why should I give that up just to be a, to get German citizenship? But now the law is changing. And I will apply for dual citizenship, apparently for people who've lived here a very long time and are integrated. That's a code word in Germany, which is very important. Mm-hmm. That they will be allowed to keep their citizenship and get dual citizenship. But in terms of voting rights, we welcome this, of course. That gives more people voting rights, and I'm sure there will be a big wave of people applying for dual citizenship and getting it. But after that, it won't change things much because what do you do about someone who's only been here for 5 years and they don't know how long they're going to be staying in this country? Is that something that you should make them to get German citizenship just to vote at the local level? And I really think voting at the local level gives people a taste of democracy. No one asks a French or an Italian if they should be able to speak German in order to vote in local elections. But they make everybody else get German citizenship, which requires language equivalency tests.
Yeah.
And I like to think of it in a different way. You know, you get to vote at the local level, it will give you something, it'll spurn you on to maybe learn the local language. Maybe you'll call up someone who speaks German better than you do and ask them about the issues of the campaign. But I think it's very important to have the right, at least, to do it. And they've done studies in European countries that have introduced local voting rights to all residents. And they found out that people, especially from countries where democracy is not very big, from non-democratic countries, a very high percentage of these people have ended up applying for the citizenship of their host country. So for people saying that, yes, you need to get the citizenship in order to vote, well, we think local voting rights is just as important, and it should not be something that you have to have in order to vote at the local level.
I guess there's also the issue about citizenship also not being as straightforward for a lot of people, depending on how you got into the country.
Yeah, that's true.
So do you also have to do the integration test in order to acquire the citizenship, even after 40 years of residing in Germany?
I think they are changing that. In my personal experience, I've been living here for 42 years, and I'm teaching at the university level, and I'm in an organization that promotes integration, so I think you get points for those kind of things. But I would not feel that it's necessary in my personal case.
But would you still be required to do the test?
I don't think so.
Okay, then. Thank you very much, Joe, for joining us in the studio today. More information can be found at www.weareweiland.org.
My pleasure.